Grace and peace to you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, and welcome to Rio Rancho Presbyterian Church on this glorious Sunday morning. It's our joy and privilege to have you in worship with us this morning, and if you're worshiping with us for the first time, we extend a special welcome to you and invite you to join us following worship in the fellowship hall for a little something to eat and drink so that we might get better acquainted. On the center aisles, chairs, there should be a maroon folder. Now is the time, if you haven't already, to pick it up and fill it out and pass it to your neighbor. When it gets to the end of the row, pass it back and note names so that you can greet folks after the service this morning. I don't have any special announcements except to say to you, read your bulletin. There's lots of stuff coming up in the next few weeks, and you don't want to miss it, so be sure to read your bulletin. You know, there's always that lull between, you know, it's called a sermon, and you're welcome to read it then. The peace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with each of you. Greet one another with a sign of God's peace.
Please stand if you're able for the call to worship. In the laughter of children, we hear the voice of shepherd and find our way home. The shepherd of our life leads us through the door into life, with him forever. The Holy Spirit, keeper of truth, is the light which guides us through every shadowed moment. Our first hymn is 327 of the Glory to God, from all that dwell below the skies.
Thank you.
God would lead us to the places of hope and healing, while moment by moment we continue to follow sin down all the wrong paths. Let us confess our lives as we draw near to the one who would restore us to wholeness. Join me as we pray together and silently. The wrong path to fullness. Amen. Our Comforter leads us to the place where God's table is spread with forgiveness and overflowing grace. Here we are called to live and love. We love God's people. Please join me in the prayer of illumination. How grateful we are. Our first verse comes from the Acts of the Apostles, Acts 2:42-47. They spent their time learning from the apostles, and they were like family to each other. They also broke bread and prayed together. Everyone was amazed by the many miracles and wonders that the apostles worked. All the Lord's followers often met together, and they shared everything they had. They would sell their property and possessions and give the money to whoever needed it. Day after day they met together in the temple. They broke bread together in the different homes and shared their food happily and freely. While praising God, everyone liked them, and each day the Lord added to their group others who were being saved. This is in the reading.
The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want.
He makes me lie down in green pastures, he leads me beside still waters.
Shepherd me, O God, beyond my
restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake.
Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me.
Shepherd me, O God, beyond my wants, beyond my fears, what blessing to God.
Thou preparest the table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup overflows.
Thank you.
the only empty one, so I got it. Well, this morning we're going to look forward a little bit. How many of you know what Pentecost is? What is Pentecost? You don't remember, but you know. Okay. Well, let me remind you, because I know there are people in this room who also do not remember. But Pentecost is, and you can kind of see a little bit on this box, is when the Holy Spirit, the dove is often a sign of the Holy Spirit, came down upon the church, and the flame is also a sign of the Holy Spirit, but it came upon the church. Yeah, you're on it, honey. Yes, right over there on the window. Right. So, but that's a sign for us that the Holy Spirit came on, and we became the church in that moment. We stopped just being this random group of Jesus followers, and we became the church. And Adam read to you this morning from the book of the early church, which is Acts. And it said that in that time they took care of each other. They shared what they had and they took care of each other. So in tribute to the birth of the church, we're trying to find a way to take care of each other. And so we take up an offering. And this year, Pentecost is on June 4th. And so you have a whole month to put some coins in here and think about people that we're helping within the church, and especially for children, youth, and young adults. That's right, people like you. Yeah, I understand. But so we're going to give each of you one of these boxes to take home, and you can put coins in it. See, this is one that already has coins in it that Mrs. Peterson loaned me, so you could hear it. But so you'll know what to do. And then on June 4th, you'll bring it back. And I put the date on there because unlike Easter, where everybody knows because it keeps talking about it, Pentecost kind of gets the short shrift in the holidays of the church. So I put the date on here for you. And I'm going to give one to every family so that, because I don't think you all need to have four boxes in yours. There you go. Oh, that's right. Yes, you need one. Take one. There we go. Okay. And you can put them together. You might need a little help. I needed help, my gosh. And maybe a little scotch tape. But they aren't as hard as the fish in some ways. Well, you know what? Because you don't have Sunday school this morning, the whole boring time when Pastor Kathy's talking, you can work on it. So, before communion. So, and you will be in church all day, all morning and all day. It'll feel like all day, but it won't be. Yeah, they're laughing at me. To parents, if your child would do better in the nursery, feel free. Kathy and Tina are back there for our littlest ones. So let's say a prayer. Dear God, we ask that you bless these boxes where we will put our coins that will help children and teenagers and young adults, those who are just kind of starting out in life, that they might find their way and that we might care for each other just as the early Christians did in the church. All this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. There who would like to have one of those boxes, we do have a few extras. So it's a nice discipline because you're thinking about others during this season as we prepare for the birth of the church. Our gospel reading this morning comes from the Gospel of John. This is often you heard and participated in the reading of the 23rd Psalm, the Shepherd's Psalm. And then Adam gave you a taste of what the early church was like. That's part of what we do as we prepare for Pentecost. And then this morning we're going to hear from the words of Jesus in the 10th chapter of John as he talks kind of about that shepherd image, because this Sunday, the fourth Sunday after Easter, is called Shepherd Sunday, and every year the lectionary is the same. So hopefully you'll get something new out of these familiar texts. Listen for the Word of God. Jesus said, "Very truly I tell you, anyone who does not enter the sheepfold by the gate, but climbs in by another way, is a thief and a bandit. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. They will not follow a stranger, but they will run from him because they don't know the voice of strangers." Now Jesus used this figure of speech with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So again, Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and bandits, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters by me will be saved and will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." This is the word of the Lord. Over the years of being both a follower of Jesus and a minister of word and sacrament, I've developed a list of questions for when I enter eternal life that I want to ask the Holy Trinity. And that the longer I'm alive, the longer the list is getting. It's funny how you start to have more questions than answers as you get older. But one of the questions I want to ask them is, just what do you want us to understand about you with this image of shepherd? It's an ancient image in many ways, because while shepherds are not entirely gone from the face of the earth, they certainly are not as prevalent as they once were, nor is their work entirely the same, nor could most folks connect with it because they have not been shepherds. Scholars, theologians, and all kinds of folks actually have written volumes about God and Jesus as shepherd, and they don't all agree, surprisingly. When we study the shepherds of the Christmas story, for example, in Luke, we learn that shepherds were not exactly a well-respected profession, but often thought of as disreputable, sometimes lazy or dishonest. And this makes the fact that they're the first to come and worship the baby Jesus and proclaim his birth even more remarkable. Yet when we say, "The Lord is my shepherd," or hear Jesus say, "I am the good shepherd," we don't think of those shepherds in Luke either. And over the years, we've come up with a few common threads that connect God as our shepherd, that shepherds are responsible for the welfare of the sheep, that being us, their safety, seeing that they have what they need in terms of food and water and shelter. But even that image can only go so far. Not to be disrespectful, but there are many that do not have these basics in the world, who live in very unsafe circumstances. So as comforting as Psalm 23 has been to generations of people, including myself on many occasions, I can see it also as a stumbling block to others. In spite of its beauty, those who have never experienced the things described in it. Those who have not had green pastures or still waters or feasts of victory may find more questions than answers in its verses. But again, the journey of faith is about questions, about digging deeper to find God's truth. So I'm not at all proposing that there's anything wrong with this image or that it's not worth exploring or holding on to. In fact, just the opposite. Because it is used so much in Scripture, we need to pay attention to it and try to understand what it means for us. And it can mean a number of things. When Jesus calls him the shepherd, himself the shepherd in the Gospel of John, and the gate for the sheep, there is a reassuring element to that, just as there is in Psalm 23. And I've read this text from John many, many times, partially because it comes up every single year. And I've taught it, I've preached it, but there's something I've never noticed before. Perhaps because I myself bring in lots of my preconceived notions about the whole shepherd image. I want you to listen to this one verse from John. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. He leads them out. I never noticed the word out before. And then it goes on to say that he goes before the sheep and they follow him. Now, in this text, my mind had always imagined all of us gathered in the sheepfold, safe and comfortable. But that's not it at all. The shepherd is calling us out of the fold and into the larger world. Well, this whole idea, this one little word has given me a lot to think about this week. And in doing some of my research, I found a description by a real shepherd in New Zealand who talks about how that calling out works. Getting them out means calling and calling and calling the sheep until one of them takes the lead and starts heading out from their small safe paddock next to the barn. Then the rest of the sheep follow that one sheep who's answering the shepherd's call. Because you see, sheep are naturally fearful. They're not keen on going where they don't know anything about where they're going. They don't like unknowns. They're not keen on change. They must be called repeatedly to be assured that this is indeed where they're to go and that it's okay. That sounds kind of familiar to me. I can relate to not being keen on change all the time or the unknown, and I can understand what it is to be having to be reassured that it's going to be fine. Because I like guaranteed outcomes. I like low risk. So Jesus is not so much the shepherd that gathers us in. We naturally head to the safety of the sheep pen, if the truth be told. But he's the one who leads us out. And he's a gate where we can come in and go out. And so often we think of Jesus as the gate where we go in and stay. But I've also noticed, because this led me then to think about the text from the 23rd Psalm, that even it kind of picks up that idea of movement. For not only are we led through green pastures and by still waters, but through the valley of the shadow of death and into the midst of our enemies. That is, all of it is out in the world. So what if we were to think of the shepherd as the one who leads us out, as the gate, and the gate as a doorway out, as well as one that brings us back here to the fold? Out to those places that may be new and unknown, where we need the guidance and the leadership of the one going before us. Which leads us then to ask ourselves, are we really listening for a shepherd's call? Is Jesus having to call and call and call? And even though we know it's him calling us, are we reluctant to go out into the broad expanse of the unknown, outside the safety of what we know, unless there are some others leading, other sheep going along too? Now I want you to think with me for a moment. This is about your own lives. Go through your week and all the places that you go in your week and the people you see. School, work, bridge club, exercise class, horseback riding, soccer, track, all kinds of athletic practices, dance group, veterans group, civic club, even visiting with your neighbors. Think about those things for a moment, all those places that you go in a week. Now consider this. What if those are the places Jesus has led you to this week? Every time we step out our door, Jesus is calling us, trying to lead us out. So would we approach our time in those places any differently if we thought, oh, Jesus has brought me to this place. I'm not just here because I think it's good for me. So this is not only a shepherd who only herds us in. He opens the gate and leads us out, but not just as individuals. So now I don't want you to just think about your own lives. I want you to think about our life together, because Jesus is always speaking in plural. He wants us to think of ourselves as the whole flock. And now I would say we have been really faithful in this. So I can't wag any fingers about any of this, because we go out together into the world to a lot of places. From Storehouse West to Colinas del Norte, from Thailand to the South Sudan, from the country of Cuba to Mora and Chacon. I believe that we see ourselves as a called people, meant to go out of this fold to wherever God leads us. And we are remarkably open to new directions from God, which, by the way, is not always the case in other flocks. The temptation, though, is to stay in the fold as though it is the destination, or only to go those places where we've been before. And that temptation then leads us to being stuck in ways that make it difficult to hear Jesus calling us to new places. We lose our flexibility, our ability to go in new directions, and we also stop really listening to how God might be calling us. We lose our gift of discernment. And we also begin to engage in excuses. Well, okay, we could call them reasons, but we know that they're excuses. Like, if we give in to the temptation of just doing what we've done before, going where we've gone before, we can be really good at ignoring Jesus' voice. Because it's so much easier then to judge someone as not deserving than to risk walking alongside them or being present in their pain. It's a lot easier to say, well, we've done all these other things. Perhaps we don't. Do we need to discern something different? And it's more convenient to fill our calendars with things where we're always with people we know and who are just like us than to step through the gate to that larger pasture, knowing to those whose language or culture or background are different than our own. Once again, doing this is not easy, which is why Jesus is with us through it. It'd be much easier just to stay here in the fold with what's familiar and to feel good about it. But Jesus tells us the gate is for going in, going out and coming in both. We have to do both. But he also says, I go ahead with you. I'm with you. I'm traveling with you. Whether it's the valley of the shadow of death, or whether you're sitting with your enemies, or it's beside the still waters and the green pastures. He does not leave us to ourselves. And the flock travels together. When we listen for the calling of the shepherd, we go together. Together we're with the hungry or the child at risk. Together we travel across miles with those who are in Syria and Sudan and Thailand, with those who are in the midst of a crisis, whether they're homeless or rebuilding after a wildfire. As a church, we are community builders, bringers of hope and reconciling love. The passage Adam read to you was about what they did together. Jesus never means for us to be disciples by ourselves, in isolation from others, independent of the larger body of Christ. No, the shepherd is here with the flock, but we're also here with each other. So when we gather at this table, which we will in a little bit, we're joined to one another and our good shepherd in the meal he has prepared for us. And it's at this table where we can indeed discern the voice of the shepherd to follow him into the world, as well as be united with him. And Jesus tells us this is the life he came to give to us, the abundant life that's intended for all. Amen. Would you stand as you're comfortable and join us in singing Savior Like a Shepherd Lead Us. Some prayer concerns, and then I will open us in prayer and then leave a time for you to silently or aloud lift your prayers to God. Then I will close us and we'll end with the Lord's Prayer. I have quite a list of concerns. I was given by Dean Reynolds the prayer concern that his daughter's friend Ghalib is in a coma after a bicycle accident. So we want to be praying for her. We want to pray for Doug Denham, who had shoulder surgery this week, but is recovering well, as is Fred Kelly. Following his surgery, he also is in the recovery mode. We also want to pray for Phyllis's sister, Min, who continues to work on her recovery. Then we have some folks, a couple of people who are having surgery this week. Nancy, our own Nancy Leffler, is having surgery this week. And Curtis Cross is having some surgery this week. And then Ron Crone is asking for prayers. He has some heart concerns, so we're going to be in prayer for him. And then Joan Roshevitz's friend, Joni, is, as we speak now, is in surgery for a brain tumor. So we want to be in a spirit of prayer for all these health concerns. Let us pray. You are indeed the great healer of our lives, O God, whether body or spirit or heart. And so we entrust these folks to you, some who have already begun their process of healing, Doug and Phyllis and Fred, those who are anticipating a time of healing with Nancy and Curtis and Joni. And as they continue to diagnose and work with Ron, we ask that you surround him with your peace and be with those who are serving him and his health. We are grateful, God, that we can entrust these folks to you because our abilities are limited, but we place our trust in you. God, we know that you send us out into the world to places where we might not first know to go or want to go, because we know, as beautiful as our world is, it is also broken, that there are those who wake up in fear or loneliness, confusion, sadness, hunger, cold. We know, O God, the needs of the world. And we ask that you give us not only your heart of compassion for them, but your hands and feet and voice, that we might indeed be used to bring a glimpse of your kingdom to those who suffer most. O God, we ask that you be with our nation. Continue to guide us, guide those who lead us, that we might follow your vision for us as a people. We pray for our communities, O God, for indeed these are places where we have found home. And so our concern for our neighbors is deep and strong. And we pray, O God, for our world in all its beautiful diversity, for you have created each of us uniquely in your image. And now, O God, hear the prayers that we lift up to you. Gather up these prayers, O God, and open us to hear and receive your answers. And now we join our hearts in prayer, praying the prayer Jesus taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Our gifts and offerings open doors for others to love of God. These gifts also acknowledge how we have heard the shepherd's voice and follow where he leads us. Let us give gratefully and joyfully. Dedication. as we offer our gifts
this day, may those gifts bring mercy and goodness into the lives of all along the rest, who
Friends, this is the joyful feast of the people of God. People will come from east and west and north and south to sit at table in the kingdom of God. This is the Lord's table, and our Savior invites all those who put their trust in Him to share this feast which He has prepared. According to the Gospel of Luke, when our risen Lord was at table with His disciples, He took the bread and blessed it and broke it. And their eyes were opened, and they recognized Him as the risen Lord. As we take bread and cup, may we also recognize the risen Lord among us. Let us pray. May the God of gates be with you. Let's try that again. It's in your bulletin. May the God of gates be with you. God calls us to open our hearts to others.
For they are filled to overflowing with grace.
Every day let us rejoice in the restorer of our lives.
We sing glad songs to the one who leads us.
You watched over creation, God of patience, as it emerged out of nothingness. Meadows where sheep could rest, still pools of water teeming with tadpoles. Paths worn smooth by mountain goats. You shaped us in your divine likeness, anointing us with the Spirit's breath of life, so we could wander the garden by your side. But that thief, sin, and that bandit, death, climbed into Eden by another way, and we followed these strangers' voices. Day by day you sent prophets to us who challenged us to lead God-centered lives. But we devoted ourselves to that life which is empty and bitter. So then you sent Jesus, shaped in human likeness, to us, so we would know you are with us. You alone are holy, gate of the way, and Jesus Christ, your child, is a shepherd of life. He kept to the path of righteousness, so we might learn how to walk in his footsteps. Knowing our voices, he followed us to the gate of death, where the keeper let him in, locking the gate behind him. But you came another way, and knowing your voice, Jesus followed you out of the tomb, receiving life abundantly for all your children. As we gather in prayer and worship, as we devote ourselves to following Jesus, we hear of that mystery of faith known to us, that Christ bore our sins in his body on the cross, that Christ was raised by you out of death, and that Christ will come so that we might live for righteousness. You lead us to this table where we want for nothing, for your Spirit transforms everyday foods into a sacred feast. Your bread and cup comfort us, nourishing us so that we might be together in everything with our sisters and brothers. The broken bread strengthens us to provide clean, pure, still waters, to build shelter for those who sleep rough, to feed those who are hungry. Your grace overflows into us, so we may offer companionship to those who wander shadowed valleys, an open gate to those longing for community, voices of compassion and hope to the oppressed. When we follow goodness and mercy to the end of time, we will find you coming out of the kitchen, setting dish upon dish of peace and hope on that great table prepared for all your children. And we will join our hearts and hands as we sing praise and wonder to you, God in community, holy in one. Amen. The Lord Jesus, on the night that he was betrayed and arrested, had supper with his disciples, and he took the bread, and after blessing it, he broke it, and he gave it to them, and he said, "This is my body, broken for you. Take, eat, all of you, and do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, he took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant, sealed in my blood, poured out for the forgiveness of sins. Drink it, all of you, and do this in remembrance of me. Every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the saving death of our Lord until he comes again in glory. The gifts of God for the people of God. bread and cup, strength for the soul, nourishment for our life of faith. Amen. Let us pray. It is with full and grateful hearts that we leave this table of abundant life that you have given us. May we recognize your Son's voice and follow his leading. Sustained and nourished, may we be strong for whatever you lead us to do, wherever we are to go. It is in the name of the risen Christ that we pray, and all God's people said, Alleluia, Amen.
Thank you.
Our sending song this morning, if you'd stand as you're comfortable, is number 39 in Glory to God. Great is thy faithfulness.
Thomas Chisholm, and it's one, it's a scripture he went to through his whole life when he needed that support, and he gave this poem to his friend William Runyon, who then set it to music, and it became popular during the Billy Graham Crusade.
Thank you.
But given our text, the fact that the light of Christ and the light of peace will be leading us out. For the shepherd is calling us, guiding us, and we just need to follow our lead sheep. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit be with each one of you, now and forever. Amen.